Blog Talk Radio.
We're looking at a
high today of 59. Okay, so it's close to 60 degrees today, and you know you just can't ask for anything better. Now tomorrow and Sunday we got a chance of rain on both days, but 63 degrees on tomorrow, 61 on Sunday. I mean, low, you know, mid to low 30s in the mornings or at night, but hey, that's okay with me, right? That's okay by me. Anyway, for you guys who listen to the show all the time, again, I appreciate you guys being loyal followers of the show, and again, I really do appreciate everything that you guys do for me and by being part of the show. Okay? 818-301-5834 is the number to the show. Now, today's word of the day is, drum roll, please, warp speed. Today's word is warp speed. I know you guys heard that before, that saying before. Warp speed is the highest possible speed. It's a noun. It means the highest possible speed. Okay? The highest possible speed that someone can go, I guess. But, you know, that's the way it is. I'm doing something right now, so bear with me, guys. So, anyway, today is Friday, of course. It's Free Fall Friday, so you guys can call into the show and, again, talk about whatever you'd like, and that'll be no problem. But what I want to talk about, you know, during the show is why do some, I'm saying some, not all, but why do some stud women, or lesbians, whatever they want to call themselves, some of them call themselves studs, some of them call themselves lesbians, whatever it is, why do they still look for men for sex? If you know, I'm curious, if you're a woman lover or a homosexual, meaning that you like the same sex, then why are you after the opposite sex? Why are you looking for men for sex? Is it a fetish or something that you just want to do or like to do or whatever? I don't get it. I mean, if you like women, then hey, stick with women. Or if I rarely hear about a man that likes men wanting to get with women. I don't usually hear about that, but I do hear about women that are lesbians who wants to be with a man. That's, you know, that's kind of weird to me. So, you know, when you think about it, why do women want, why do lesbian women want to be with, you know, women? Why is that? Why do they want to be with women if they still want to be with men? You know, are you bisexual? If you're bisexual, then say you're bisexual. And so don't say you're you're a lesbian when you're not. Okay? Don't say that. I'm wondering, how does that work? Are you just saying, you know, what you're trying to do, or are you just talking about something weird, or how does that work? I'm just wondering. Because, you know, if you like women, stick with women. Okay, I'm a man and I like women. I don't see myself ever in life trying to be with a man. I don't see that. Okay? Some, you know, women that love men never ever in life see themselves being with a woman. Okay? I don't see myself being with a man. So how does women who like women want to be with men? Something weird going on right there? Is it? Is it something weird going on right now? Are you bisexual, like I said? If you're bisexual, say you're bisexual. Don't say that don't say that you're a woman or you're a lesbian. Don't say you're a lesbian because you're not. You're bisexual. You are a bisexual if you like women and men. Okay? Now, I know a lesbian who hadn't been with a man in some years, but says now she wants to be with a man. She doesn't want to be with the man all the time, but she just want to be with the man for a couple of nights. You know, what's the deal there? You know, what are you looking to pull in here? What are you looking to grab a hold of here? Just wondering, okay? And you know, I'm trying to see how is this thing going to work? How is that going to work? If you get with a man, because women live on emotions, all right? They live on emotions. And the emotions can get the best of you. All right? It can get the best of you. So if, you know, how does that work? Women, stud women, they want to be with men. 818-301-5834 is the number to the show. You guys can call the show and talk about what you want. Now, this weekend, I'm going to be going up to see my daughter. I'm going to be going up to see my daughter in Rome. She's at Barry College in Rome, and she's the captain of the dance team there at Barry College, and they're doing a halftime show during the basketball game. So I'm going up this weekend, early morning Saturday, and we're going to go eat. And the whole family's going up. We're going to go eat, and then we're going to go on over to the school or whatever and hang out until the game starts. I think the game starts at 3 or something like that. And watch the dance and then head back home. So we have a big weekend this weekend. Not sure if I'm going to do a show on Monday for Dr. King's birthday. but I am going to do a show on Tuesday for sure, but not real sure about Monday. Okay, but on but really on Monday, think about this, guys. The deal with Dr. King's birthday is to for a celebration, and also it's also to inform more people of what his legacy is all about. His legacy, what he went through, his some of his trials and tribulations. And I think that some of these young teenagers, 13, 14, that's a young teenager, should be all into the TV watching the ecumenical services and listening to, you know, the things that went on or some of the people talk about Dr. King and what he meant to them. Okay? It, you know, it was huge. It was probably the most recognized era in American history. The Civil Rights Movement was probably the most recognized era in American history. And he was the leader of that. Okay? He had the vision. He had the strength, the God-given strength to step out in front and move a people. And the reason I say people, a people, is because it was all people. He embraced all people, not just white, not just black, but all people. And all these marched or moved with him for a common cause. And part of that common cause were equal rights among people. Okay? Equal rights among people. Voter rights. Transportation rights. Even something like being able to eat in a restaurant, because restaurants at that time and before wouldn't allow black people to come in, sit down, and have a meal, have dinner, have lunch, have breakfast there. They had to go around back of the restaurant and get their food and keep going wherever they had to go. Okay? Now, I remember some older people telling us back long, long time ago that their family taught them to eat before you leave home. Eat before you leave home. That way you wouldn't be hungry out there in the street and wouldn't have to deal with white people treating you like, you know, below human beings. So you eat before you leave home. That's a great idea. Or it was a great idea back in the day. See, the kids today don't realize any of that stuff. If you don't teach them any of this history, they don't realize what happened back in history. Okay, they don't realize what happened back in history. They don't realize that they couldn't go into a restaurant and sit and eat. Now they can go into Applebee's, into a Chinese restaurant, into a Mexican restaurant, into a barbecue restaurant or a soul food restaurant or any kind of restaurant and sit down, eat, pay for their dinner, get served, and leave. But it hadn't always been like that, okay? And they need to know the history of that. And part of that you can get on Monday through the Dr. King Ecumenical Services on TV. So that's a big learning experience, a big way to teach some of your early teenagers, again, and your kids about some of the things that happened back when. And it's not just black kids. It's all people. Black, white, whatever, it's all people. Dr. King was a worldwide, not United States-wide. He was a worldwide name. He was a global. So this is something that that everyone needs to grab a hold of, take a look at, and understand. Okay? Now, I went to school with a couple of Dr. King's kids. I went to high school with them. I went to high school with his youngest daughter, Bernice. I was also in high. I went to high school with his youngest son, Dexter. Okay, when the King Center was first built, a friend of mine used to take me with him down to the King Center, and we used to play basketball at the King Center. And Martin Luther King III. King Center for us to play. So we used to see him at that time, see Martin Luther King Jr. III at that time too. So I've had interaction with all three of them. Now, Dr. King's niece, Angela Ferris, we went to high school together. We graduated high school together. Okay, his niece. I graduated high school with his niece. So Dr. King's sisters, we graduated high school together. Okay, and she's a great girl. All right, I think she's some kind of professor now at Spelman College. So all I'm saying, guys, is that this is an opportunity for everyone. Not just white and black, but for all people to learn, opportunity to understand what happened back before your time, some of the history. And all you have to do is sit and watch and listen. Sit, watch, and listen. Now it's another thing for you. You can also go back and look at other things. You could do some research. There's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of information out there about the civil rights movement. All you have to do is Google civil rights movement. Tell you pages and pages and pages of material will come up on your computer. So you can read, you can watch video, whatever of that. And also, you can go downtown Atlanta to the King Center, the King Memorial, and do a walkthrough of the King Center there. I mean, it is awesome. They've got a Rosa Parks room. They got another room of where he's, you know, and it's got videos and it's constantly talking going on through the loudspeakers there. And you can go in there, you can see his medals of honor. You can see the suit that he wore when he met with then President Lyndon Baines Johnson. You can see the suit and the suitcase that he had the day he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee. You can see that suitcase. It still has all his stuff that he had in the suitcase that day in it. It was preserved. Okay? And it's down there at the King Center. All right? You can go to Memphis, Tennessee, to the Lorraine Motel, which is famous now, and they've preserved that room that Dr. King stayed in, and it's still set up the way it was when he was killed. He got killed out on the balcony. He didn't get killed in the room. He got killed out on the balcony. So the room was, you know, was always kept the way it was after he was killed. They never changed it. Okay? Now, I've never been there, but my daughter has. My daughter went on a field trip with her school there, and that was something that they did. They went to, they visited the Lorraine Motel, and she saw that room. Okay? You can take pictures and all this stuff, and you can see the room that Dr. King stayed in the day he was murdered. He was assassinated. Okay? And again, guys, thank you for tuning in to the show today, Friday. You guys have a tremendous weekend. I hope you guys have a safe weekend. And a lot of you have a long weekend, a three-day weekend because of the King holiday. I do. And again, I hope you guys have a long, safe weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. And don't do anything bad over the weekend, okay? We want to see you right back here. I don't know if I'm going to do a Monday show, but I'm definitely going to do a Tuesday show. So tune in Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock a.m., right here on the Frank Williams Show. Hey, take care of yourself, guys, and I'll see you on Tuesday morning.